This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive with Em and Warren. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you. Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
The fallout from the Optus data breach continues, in which the details of current and former customers was exposed. It's been nearly a week and we're still trying to get a clear understanding of what happened and what it means for those of us who have been impacted. Well, Jeffrey Foster is an associate professor in cybersecurity studies at Macquarie University. He joins us on the line. Jeff, welcome to Joy Drive.
Thanks, Warren. Glad to be here.
Jeff, from an Optus customer perspective, why is this data breach so significant?
Sure. Well, there's two main aspects of it. One is the scale of this. This is one-third of the Australian population. It's a massive number of people. And so the solutions become really difficult with that many people. But the second is the amount of information that went. Essentially, this was the data Optus held on its customers to get 100 points of identification, which is your driver's license, your passport, your Medicare card. And with that information, with your name, date of birth, address, and phone number, that's all somebody would need to say, create a new credit card for you at a bank and go to a bank like Westpac and say, I'm you, and go and take out a new credit card in your name. That's what's kind of severe about this. It's just that combination of the severity, the amount of information from the customers, and the scale of being 9.4 million people affected.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Jeff, because so far we haven't really received much information from Optus itself in terms of the implications. But most people are saying, "Oh, just look out for links that you might receive in text messages or links that you might receive in emails." But the fact that someone could go down and essentially pose as being ourselves and then apply for a credit card takes it to a different level.
Yeah, and the amount of things you can apply for now without having to be in person or physically have the card with you or your identification with you because of our COVID and the lockdowns and everything moving online is pretty much everything. So people can sign up for whatever they want once they have all that information. So now, not everybody had personal documents that were leaked, but it was about a little over 3 million driver's licenses within the data set. So it's a lot of people who are still affected by those identifications.
Jefferson.
Everybody else still gets affected by spam.
Yeah, right. It certainly is a lot of people affected, and it feels like Optus keeps sort of changing their story on how this information was leaked. Do we know yet exactly what happened?
We don't know for sure. We do have some news coming out from an Optus employee about this being a test API server that somebody built for programming and creating a new system internally that they accidentally left online. But that's not been confirmed by Optus yet. So we don't actually know for sure. This could just be an employee who made that mention and wasn't quite accurate, or could be perfectly right. We don't know yet.
Jeff, we've seen the supposed hacker publish an apology and delete the original post online in the dark web. Does this mean our data is a bit safer? And how do we know that this person was the actual hacker?
Yeah, well, there's a couple questions there, because that's an important question. How do we identify that this is the right hacker? We don't know for 100% sure, because Optus hasn't confirmed the data that leaked out yet. However, it is some pretty good indicators that it is the correct data set. So out of the 10,000 to 200 that were leaked, we can run those across databases and see, have these email addresses been leaked in the past? And a lot of them hadn't, which suggests that these are new people's pieces of information that haven't leaked out from other attacks previously. Good evidence that it's the Optus, or at least that it's brand new data. So it probably is the right information. But is our data safe because they've recanted and apologized and said, I've deleted the data? Absolutely not. I don't think anyone wants to take this hacker at their word, and nobody would delete the data.
We're chatting with Jeffrey Foster, Associate Professor in Cybersecurity Studies, Macquarie University, about the Optus data breach and what we need to do if our data has been compromised. Jeff, this leads me to our next question. What should we do if we have been one of these people that's had their information hacked?
Yeah, well, there's a variety of steps that you can take in here, and questions of what's most important to protect is kind of that first issue. Is you need to determine, you can't protect everything all at once. Your whole life exists within this information that has leaked. So I would start by identifying what your most important accounts are. your bank accounts, your superannuation account, any brokerage accounts, and any accounts associated with them. So the email accounts that are signed up to your UniSuper or to your superannuation, those types of accounts, and protect them. Make sure there's two-factor authentication. Increase the security as best as you can within those accounts. And if they do have two-factor authentication, make sure it's not sending it to the email address or phone number that was associated with Optus, because those are compromised. If your documents were leaked in the Optus breach, you certainly want to get those updated, and state governments are coming out right now with steps to take in order to change out your driver's license number, for example. But if you're worried about identity theft, your big concerns are going to be your phone. Optus has locked the SIM card so that someone can't do an attack called a SIMjack, where they essentially convince the telecom company that they're the owner of that phone number, and the telecom company just ports your phone to somebody else. And so you can lock your accounts. Optus has locked theirs for now, but if you're a previous customer of Optus and no longer with Optus, your phone number has not been locked yet. So you should probably call your telecommunications company and ask for a PIN to be put on your SIM card. That stops it, so you have to give that PIN number for anyone to change your SIM information.
So
the other thing you can do is lock your credit. My apologies.
No, sorry, Jeff. So just on that about the SIM card. So if, for example, I had my home internet mm-hmm. broadband plan with Optus and my mobile phone, for example, with Telstra, I still have to contact Telstra and say, okay, can you please put a PIN on my SIM, because my number was recorded with Optus as my contact number.
Yep. Yeah. And so the hackers will have enough information about you to now go to Telstra and get that SIM card ported over to them instead. So you need to put that PIN lock on it.
Fantastic. And now you're also going to say about if we're worried about credit.
Yeah. So if you're worried about your credit and your identity theft, the three main credit agencies here, Ilion, Equifax, and Experian, will all allow you to put a temporary lock on your credit. And you can get that off of their websites. And it makes it so that nobody can take out or run a credit report in your name temporarily. It'll hold it off at least until you get an opportunity to change out your documents. That's an important one, because it's the only kind of method to stop anyone from actually taking credit out in your name.
Optus are offering like a 12-month subscription to one of these services, right? If you are one of the most affected customers.
Yes, so that's another option. So, for instance, if you want to lock your credit but you need to use it, you need to apply for a credit card, or you're buying a car or purchasing a house, you can't lock your credit because you need it. Mm-hmm. So what they're offering to the most affected customers, and we don't know who those are yet, Optus hasn't announced it, is actually credit monitoring. So it's a paid service with Experian, or Equifax, I'm sorry, for Equifax, that will monitor. It won't actually stop your credit from being run. It's just, as soon as anybody runs your credit, they'll send you a message to tell you somebody has ran a credit check on you. If it wasn't you, you should check. So if somebody applies for a credit card with CommBank, you'll get a notification saying somebody applied for credit at CommBank under your name. Was this you? And that allows you an opportunity to stop it really quick before it can actually do any damage. It is a paid service. We don't know when Optus said the most effective customers are going to pay. We don't know who those are. Is that all people with documents lost? Is it just the people, the 10,200, whose documents have already been leaked? We don't know yet.
We're chatting with Jeffrey Foster, Associate Professor in Cybersecurity Studies from Macquarie University, about the Optus data breach. Jeff, can we check if our phone number or email address has previously been compromised? And if we find out that it has been, what should we do there?
Yeah, well, you can certainly check your email address to see if it's been compromised in the past, but not with this particular attack yet.
Right.
So there's a website, Have I Been Pwned, P-W-N-E-D. So spelled out Have I Been P-W-N-E-D, .com. That's ran by Troy Hunt. He's a cybersecurity professional here in Australia. He keeps a database of all the breaches that are recorded that have occurred. And people, when data are breached and sold online, they send him a copy so he can add to the database. You can check your email address there to see whether or not it's been in other breaches. Now, that's important in this case, because your email address is now just leaked in this case. And that means that someone can run your email address against previous breaches and pull out things like passwords you've used in the past. Then they have your password if you've reused it, along with your email address, your name, your identification details, everything else. And they can do a lot of damage. So you can check for previous breaches there. He's not adding the current Optus breach information to the database. He's got his reasons for it, because it was such a small percentage of the real breach. He doesn't want to add it there. But every other previous breach, billions of records that are on file on his database.
Jeff, if we're one of the people that's a previous Optus customer who, you know, we would have given them our identification, but it would be now expired and not our identification anymore, should we be taking the same sort of, you know, steps with making sure that our credit is locked and all of that? Or is it not as much of an issue if our documents aren't still accurate?
It's less of an issue. It's still an issue, and you might want to consider it, but it's less pressing of an issue.
Right.
However, the question will be, what do you mean by not accurate? For instance, if your driver's license just updated the year of its expiry, but it's still the same number, the information is still valid, and it's pretty easy to figure that out by looking at the number and expiration date and adding a few years to it, and suddenly they have it again. So do make sure it's actually different and not just a changed expiration date.
Yeah, very, very valid point.
Jeff, yeah. The Victorian government has said that VicRoads will allow us to obtain a different license number, a new license. Is that something that we should be going in? I know I went in this morning and I put a flag on my license saying that, you know, my license number could have been potentially leaked. Should we be doing that?
Yes, you absolutely should. There's also the question of when we're going to find out which people's identifying documents and which ones were leaked. Optus hasn't notified all people of it yet. Once they start, or if you have been notified that your document was leaked, you should get that document changed as quick as possible.
And will we expect Optus to tell us which documents specifically have been leaked? Because at the moment, they've just issued the general notification.
General one, yeah. Well, I believe so. At least in driver's licenses, they're going to tell it. They might just say your document has been leaked. We don't really know what they're going to do on that yet. They've said that within the coming days, they will notify all users whose documents were leaked. But what that looks like yet, we're not sure.
Jeff, thank you so much for chatting with us. Really important information there.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. That's Jeffrey Foster, Associate Professor in Cybersecurity Studies at Macquarie University. And if you want that website again to check whether your phone number or your email address has been in a previous leak, you can go to haveibeenpwned.com, but take the A out of the pawn. So haveibeenpwned.com.
The best bits of Joy Drive with Em and Warren. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.